Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're listening to. It's bright and early for us here, where we're doing an early episode this morning. But I'm really excited about today's topic. We're going to be talking about relationships with technology. So I'm one of your hosts, Kat.
I'm your other host, Angie.
And we're just going to kind of jump right into it, because technology is a very broad term. It's, you know, everyone has different definitions of it. A lot of people, when they think technology, assume high tech, AI, robots, computers, phones. But technology is the day-to-day things as well. You know, it's could be something as simple as a pen. And one of the most innovative technological advancements of the millennia was the printing press, which I don't even know if we use anymore. I actually don't think we do. So technology is something that evolves over time. Angie, you want to chime in here a bit? What do you think of when I say the word technology?
I mean, I kind of think of the normal internet, phones, like Instagram, that kind of thing. But it makes sense because, you know, some people don't have access to that, and like they use basic technology. And there are different relationships with technology. A lot of people have a lot of very toxic relationships with technology. Mm-hmm. When you're speaking of your phone, like your cell phone and stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that something like a technology addiction is a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming a lot more prevalent. Yeah. With something you guys will notice throughout this podcast is that I struggle with vocabulary.
She will always blame it on being Polish.
I will. I absolutely. I'm going to pull the immigrant card every single time.
Every time.
But it's a valid thing. You know, people, especially now, when I think of my niece and nephew who were born within the last 5 years, they are going to grow up in a completely different time than we did. And it's only, what, like a 20-year difference? It's not even that much. But we have made so much technological advancements, and society has changed so much to become more dependent on technology. People just grew more with technology that it changed the world. Mm-hmm. So actually, I wrote down the Google definition of what the word technology means. I think it'll be a little fun to dissect that one. It's the application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes, especially in industry.
Wow.
So tell me, Angie, what does that mean to you? How do those terms speak to you?
That's, you know, they speak. And no, but I mean, backtracking a little bit and also kind of going off of that, like when I was a kid, I keep thinking of like Legos and building blocks. Like those were our, I guess you can say that was like our technology for like learning our basic movements, basic needs and everything. Now kids have iPads. So we learned for our practical purposes for scientific knowledge, whatever the definition was, through like blocks and actual physical toys and stuff like that, that helped us learn our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Which, and I feel like kids don't have a lot of those these days.
They definitely don't. I've noticed that a lot of kids don't even know what the word play means anymore. It's for them. Yeah. For them, they get bored very quickly. If you give them toys, they don't really stay with it. They don't have as much imagination. I used to tutor someone in English, and she really struggled with imagination. She had to write a nonfiction story, and she just could not think of anything. Like, I had to completely lead her to it. We were writing, I think, about like a fake alien or something. I was like, okay, what color is the alien? Does it have any horns? Does it, you know, what color is its nose? Like, she just couldn't get there on her own whatsoever. Wow. And it wasn't like she was struggling with English or had any type of learning disadvantages or whatever. It was just that she had no imagination. That was her thing. Like, she just wanted to be on her phone, on her iPad, and didn't really have her own personal creativity, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, even with my cousins, my little cousins, the oldest is turning 9 this year, I think. they're very imaginative, and but they love their PS5, they love their iPad, their movies, and all of that. And when they were, even when they were babies, they had like a few toys, but mostly liked the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
That and was their main thing.
It definitely comes down to parents as well. If you raise your kids and have an iPad as the solution to everything, then they're going to become reliant on it. They're going to see it as, if I throw a tantrum, I'm going to get my iPad. Like, parents just do it to shut their kids up sometimes. And it's, you know, that's not necessarily the way to go. I'm not going to tell anyone how to raise their kid. Mm-hmm. But there are pros and cons to that. Like, yes, it's going to shut the kid up, but also it's going to teach them that I can get the iPad and I'm just going to go away into my own world. I mean, think about how often when you go to restaurants, do you see kids sitting there on a phone or an iPad?
Yeah, but that kind of relates back to, it's the same thing that we had when we were kids. If we threw a tantrum, our parent would give us like our Barbie to calm us down. So it's just, it has evolved.
It has evolved.
They use iPads.
My concern is that has it evolved for the better necessarily?
Yeah, that's the tough question.
Because when you give someone a Barbie, I haven't really heard about a Barbie addiction. But I mean, I think I would get like I was big into action figures when I was young. So
yeah.
I had a G.I. Joe action figure that my parents carried around and gave it to me. But if they gave me an iPad, I feel like I would just be more dependent on it. Especially even adults now, they get very addicted very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, even me, I realized that I was using my phone way too much. So I got rid of my social media for a little bit just because I realized, I was like, I need to just step out into the real world for 2 weeks or something.
Right. And sometimes the break it's really good for you.
Yeah. I think everyone needs a technology, social media, whatever break once in a while.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. So we took a bit of a tangent from the original definition, but I did want to talk a little bit about, you know, the keyword there, especially in industries, you know, different types of machinery, whatever. Like, those things are very important technology that the everyday Joe Schmo, like me and you, doesn't think about. You know, if you go into a factory, there's so many different machines, so many different tools, and they make a lot of industries just function.
Yeah. I was talking, actually, because we just finished my busy season at work, and we have these huge printers that are gigantic, and they print, I think, 90 pages per minute.
Wow.
Of paper. And we have about 3 or 4 of them. And we had stacks. We had to put some of our returns in boxes. Like, one return had to be put in 6 separate boxes. That's how many pages we had to print. But I was talking to the printer guy because I was helping him. And he was saying how the client claimed that in the past years, they would use a typical like house printer to print these returns. And he was like, no shot.
That's
no way.
Wow. That would take like, I feel like over an hour to print that, like 6 boxes of paper.
Yeah. For our like printers, that takes hours.
That's wild.
And they were claiming they were doing it on a, you know, regular office house printer.
That's wild. I feel like at that point you have to invest in at least a bigger printer.
Right. But like, I had no idea that some people don't have these huge printers, like in these big companies. They just have apparently the normal printers.
Oh my God.
That's
questionable to me, because even schools, and even like very small schools, because my mom teaches at a Polish school. It's a very small school. And even when we were buying her new printer, like, I went to Staples with her. I was doing the buying. And we bought her a bigger, what are they called? Laser printers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I still bought her, it wasn't a big fancy schmancy printer, but it was still a laser printer.
Right.
They're so efficient. You just, if you're printing a lot, or a lot adjacent, then you need to have an efficient machine for that.
Right. So I just thought that was interesting to see. Because I've never seen printers that big. Yeah.
That's wild. I'm just so, like everyday the fact that, that they're using a regular house printer for that.
Yeah. We don't believe it, but
we think like, I just lying. Think about every time I had to print something for college or high school or whatever, when there was like a final assessment due, the house printer always stops working right when you have to print it. The shorter the deadline, the worse the printer is.
Oh, yeah.
It senses your stress. The printer senses the fear.
And it's like, I'm going to sign out early.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to take my time on this one. I'm in no rush. Yeah.
But, I mean, our like going back to the definition, like our client is, I will say, very lucky to have us and our printers and our technology of our printers because we got it done within a few days. And it probably would have taken them months.
And that's the thing. It's people don't realize how much something simple like a printer can affect society. It's like, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it might not have the biggest effect, but I'm sure it saved your client a lot of time, especially if they have to submit their taxes by a certain time and deadline. It's like you need to start printing early if you want to get these out.
You need to finish those returns way early.
Yeah.
Some of the returns we didn't even finish until last week.
Exactly. So,
they couldn't do that.
Exactly. So that's wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then at factories themselves, I went to a brewing distillery, I think it's called, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. The places they make beer for Sam Adams. And we did like a little tour of it and they were showing us all the machines. I didn't even think about it. I'm like, if one of these machines just disappeared, how would that affect industries? Like, I don't know if they use the same machines for like wine and, you know, vodka, tequila, whatever. I'm not an alcohol expert by any means. But it would definitely affect the beer industry, which on its own is massive.
Yeah.
And they would need to have some kind of replacement for it, either by hand or some kind of older model or whatever the case might be. And that would affect production massively.
Yeah. I went to there's a beer factory in Amsterdam, Heineken. Mm-hmm. I went there and it is crazy massive. I couldn't even imagine. They have horses in there too.
I remember we saw it from the outside. It was just giant block.
Yeah, no, they just have horses.
Casual.
Yeah, I think the horses somehow help operate.
Maybe that's the backup. If the technology goes out, the horses are pulling everything.
Well, I think that they used to use the horses like back in the day, and now they just kind of keep the horses around for us.
That's not a bad idea. If I went into a brewing factory and I saw a horse, I'd be like, oh, horses! I would be so excited.
But it was cool to see, like, oh, this was our past. This is how we used to do it. And this is how we're doing it now. And I was like, wow, you used horses for beer.
Yeah.
And now we're using machines.
It's really interesting. That's one of my favorite things about museums is just looking at the history of things. Mm-hmm. I went to the Postal Museum on my last visit to D.C., and it was actually really interesting. It talked about the history of the postal system, how mail used to be delivered, how mailboxes used to be set up. Like, people didn't even have mailboxes. They would have these tubes underground They had these tubes underground where you put in I think the way that it worked was you put in the mail like a cylindrical way and it just flew up into the building or something like that. And
don't we have that anymore?
I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow, that'd be so cool. I think it's just inefficient for cities. And built so much that they would have crossed too much into each other. Mm-hmm. I think that was the issue. I remember reading about it. I was like, wow, fascinating. I just don't remember all the facts. But it was really cool. And it's like, wow, we went from that to I'm just going to slide it in your door, put it in your mailbox.
Wow. I kind of wish we had the tubes.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. That'd be so much fun. Just be like, oh, imagine just sitting in your room and your little tube opens up and a piece of mail shoots out.
You know how many heart attacks that would cause?
Yes, probably. But how funny would it be?
Oh my God, I would have the time of my life. Yeah. I would always be like sending you mail.
I'd be like, Angie, I need you to write me a letter. I don't care what it says inside. You could say hi and that's it. I want a letter.
I want a letter. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it's like even things like that, the evolution of that kind of technology just changed so much.
It's kind of, that also reminds me of like the laundry chutes in people's houses. We used to have a laundry chute.
What's a laundry chute?
We used to have a laundry chute in my house. It's an old thing. You used to like open like a little cabinet, and then it had like a chute, like a hole kind of thing that was just linked to the basement of where your laundry. We have laundry rooms, and I know that is a weird thing to you, but
it's a little bit of a weird thing to me. But okay,
yeah, but it goes down to your laundry room, and you would typically have like your hamper where the chute is, and it collects all your laundry.
Okay, but that seems kind of efficient. Like why was that
but
removed?
But now they have I saw this on TikTok, it is a hole in the wall.
It like sucks your laundry in,
it's
right?
It's a vacuum.
Yes, I saw that on TikTok. I did see that on TikTok.
I showed it to my mom, and now my mom wants it. My dad is really mad at me for showing it to her.
I mean, yes, but I'm kind of sketched out by the vacuum in the wall. Like, what if I walk a little too close to it and start sucking me in?
No, because not to flex, but in my Hamptons, my house in the Hamptons, we have I've never showed you it, but we have these it's like a long tube for the vacuum. And then we have these holes in the wall. And when you plug in the end of the tube, that's when the vacuum turns on. So it just kind of sucks the dirt into the wall. I don't know where it goes. I don't know what happens to it, but all of the dirt is in the wall.
I'm going to have to see that next time I'm there. Yeah. But two, a bit skeptical of how you don't know how it fully functions, which means it is a little suspicious.
Yeah, I don't know where it goes. Okay. But it works. It gets rid of dirt.
Okay. I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of little things around the house, so I could plug it into each room.
Although it might be like that one Fairly Odd Parents episode. I don't know if you've seen it, but Timmy Turner wished that like the garbage disappeared or something, and it wasn't actually disappearing. It was just getting stockpiled into this giant ball of garbage, and there was a lot of issues with it afterwards. Maybe that's what's happening. It's not actually going anywhere. It's just all stockpiling until it explodes.
My dad definitely knows that it probably goes to the basement, and he has to clean it out somehow.
Honestly, your dad's very responsible, so I trust him.
But to me, I'm like, it's gone.
Magic.
Disappeared. No more dirt.
I mean, that's a really cool thing. It's everyday things that people don't even realize. And let's talk about dishwashers. That is such a concept to me because I've never had one.
I
hand washed my dishes all the time. And I remember, this is recently, actually, I went to Long Island with you, and you were like, hey, can you run the dishwasher? And I was like, I can, but how?
I remember you just staring at it.
I was staring at it. I'm like, what button do I press? I don't want to break it. Where does the soap go? What kind of soap is it?
Yeah.
You can't use
regular soap.
And it's like, I'm not by any means, you know, living in a third world country that doesn't have dishwashers. I live in the United States.
Right.
In the New York metro area. So
right.
I would say a pretty advanced area of the world. I just never had exposure to a dishwasher. You know, we didn't have one in Poland. And then my apartment building in Brooklyn also didn't have one. And then my current apartment also doesn't have one.
Oh, it doesn't have one in this one?
No.
No, you've just avoided dishwashers.
Yeah, I really have. Like, I just, my whole life, I'm, 24 in tomorrow, actually. And
happy birthday!
Yeah, thank you. When this releases, it will be...
it'll already be 24.
Yeah, I'll already be 24. But I've managed to go 24 years of my life without ever using a dishwasher. Because even then, like even when we were together, I don't think I ended up doing it because I was just so confused. You're like step aside.
Well, I taught you how to.
Yeah,
kind of.
Do I remember? Probably not.
No.
but that's like
they are. I love dishwashers.
Yeah. So it's like a very everyday household thing. I'm pretty sure a lot of households in the United States have one. I just happen to have never used one, and it's a very common piece of technology that people focus on.
Yeah. Some people need it.
Yeah. It's especially if you have like a really big household.
Yeah.
And it's you're washing a lot of dishes. It's one, it saves you a lot of water. Especially if you're actually paying for the water bill. If you're renting, then whatever, who cares? Mm-hmm. Your landlord might be a bit ticked off about the water bill going up, but you're not paying for it. But if you're actually paying for the water bill, you want to be a bit more conservative because that's money directly out of your pocket. So dishwashers can definitely be useful for that.
Yeah.
All right. So I do have a little tidbit, I would say, of just a very various technological items in our day-to-day life. And I want us to talk about if, let's say we wake up tomorrow morning and this object just disappears. Completely vanishes off the face of the earth. There's no sign of it whatsoever. Any type of involvement, any type of, you know, blueprints to make it are just gone. How would society be affected by it?
Do we remember that we had it yesterday?
No. Yes. Yes, we do. We remember that we had it. We remember it existed, but we know nothing about how to compose it, how to recreate it, how to make it happen again, whatever. We just know that we had it.
Interesting.
Okay. So let's start off with a big one. Uh-huh. Phones.
I feel like society might fall apart a little bit. Like, I feel like my parents would be okay. Just because they only really use their cell phones. They don't have social media. They only use it to get in touch with
family. I have your mom on Facebook.
Okay. But she's not like, you know, she could live without Facebook.
Yeah.
Like if it disappeared, she'd be like, well,
that's another one bites the dust.
Yeah. I feel like I and our generation would have a little bit of a very hard time actually, because mm-hmm. we solely communicate through our phones. A lot of us only communicate over text. Calling is our generation has anxiety when it comes to calling. Mm-hmm. My mom still calls about my doctor's appointments. I will admit that. so I don't know. I feel like that would be a tough one to get over.
Yeah, I feel like it would definitely have different impacts on different people.
Yeah.
Because when I say phones, I'm talking about all types of phones. Like, yes, cell phones, but also landlines. So, you know, Alexander Graham Bell, who's he? But it's one of those things where it depends on what you use the phone for. It would definitely affect a lot of instant communication, but I don't think it would be end of the world type of thing, because we would still have tablets, which technically aren't phones. So, and with the internet and with social media, we could communicate through Facebook. Like I could just call you through Messenger, for example.
True.
Because that's not a phone, but it is a form of communication. It would just be a lot less efficient because I can't do it on a small little thing. I would have to do it on either a computer or a tablet of some sorts.
Yeah. I mean, my house, we still have a landline.
Yeah.
I would be so happy if that went away.
Oh my God. I don't remember the last time I picked up a landline.
Every time that someone calls, it's always spam.
Yeah. I have literally sat next to the phone my parents have. They have three. We have three, and they're all connected to the same number. They all just ring when someone calls our house phone. And I literally sat next to it, watched it ring for 20, 30 seconds, just didn't pick it up because I knew it was spam.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not moving the 2 feet to pick that up.
So I feel like my family would be very happy if that just disappeared.
it wouldn't be a bad thing. It's just, I feel like it would definitely impact communication a lot, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. Because there are a lot of advancements and alternatives. You know, you could even email someone. Just email them or chat them on Messenger. Chat them on, WhatsApp technically requires a phone to use.
Yeah.
So but WhatsApp also, is out the window.
You couldn't, like, bring, if you're contacting people on your computer, you couldn't bring your computer around because you need Wi-Fi.
Well, they have those, I think iPads you can have 5G on. I don't know.
You need a phone.
Oh, do you need a phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind then. So yeah, you would have to be near Wi-Fi. I feel like they would definitely make Wi-Fi more accessible in that case.
Yeah.
If phones disappear, just make Wi-Fi more, or they would just sell, you know, just because phones disappear doesn't mean that service disappears. So they could just sell service for tablets.
True. Yeah.
I think that would be pretty useful. Yeah. Okay. So phones was a good one. Let's take it a step further. Phones are sticking around this time. We have phones, but computers disappear.
That's tough because I think about my work immediately.
Yeah. That was my first thought too. It's like, yeah, communication isn't as impacted, but my job?
I couldn't do my job. I need Excel.
I've ever relied on Excel. But it's like, the way that my company works is we are transferring to a digital environment completely. So what that means is that we're trying to avoid in person. Like, we don't want to do it. And with that, if a computer disappears, that's going to limit a lot of things because that's where we do like 80% of our operations.
I would have to go back to paper. Bro. Doing taxes on paper? No, I don't ever want to think about that.
When I do my taxes and I do them on TurboTax, that's already stressful enough.
Yeah, no, I don't like TurboTax. But paper? No, thank you. No. Oh, I would have to calculate everything on my little calculator and do it myself. Nothing is imported into a system where numbers are just there for me from other teams.
That's tough.
Or I have to wait for them to bring me paper.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you would have phones and tablets or whatever, but it's not.
You cannot do the tax returns on a phone.
You can do it on a big iPad.
Not with our systems.
Oh, well, never mind then.
Doesn't run.
See, because I was thinking like a Windows Surface Pro, but I think technically that's considered as a computer. Like, even though it it's a hybrid tablet computer thing.
My work computer is a hybrid tablet.
Yeah. So I think, assuming that computers disappear, then all the hybrid ones just kind of lose their momentum. We're going to roll with that for the story.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like that's the biggest impact that it would have. It's just societal advancements and just working on things because a lot of work is done on computers.
Yeah.
Like in labs, in, you know, medical fields, whatever, they do a lot of things on computers. Yeah. And tablets just don't have the same capabilities yet. Like there's a reason that the price point between an iPad and a MacBook is like a $1,500 difference, even though they're the same operating system.
Yeah, they would probably have to upgrade their tablets a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's something that would happen, though. It would force companies to really upgrade their tablets and become more adaptive. I don't know how long that would take, but it would definitely be, I feel like that's the first thing that people would have to do because society would really suffer with that one.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a bit more of a nuanced one. Toasters.
This really got me when I looked at your notes.
I
don't know why. I was like, toasters.
No, because like you don't think about it. Like, toasters technology. It's like, no, what would happen if the toasters of the world just disappeared?
I would just use my oven.
I would honestly be very upset about it. But it wouldn't be world ending because I don't currently have a toaster. But when I lived with my parents, I had a toaster. Well, they had a toaster. And I used that toaster easily 3 to 4 times a week.
I use my toaster a lot.
Yeah. I really like my bread toasted. Mm-hmm. And it's quick. You just plop a piece of bread in, you push the little button down, 2 minutes, ta-da, you have toasted bread.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I don't have a toaster at home, but I have a panini press. And my issue with it is that I just have to like take the whole thing out, open it, place it down, like, you know, close it, and then it's a lot more difficult to clean because it's bigger. It's connected to power, so I have to be more careful with it when I clean it. And it's also just, like, it's clunkier. It's not as quick, but it has benefits because I can toast the insides as well. But also drawbacks because sometimes I want just the outside toasted, and I want, you know, something that's not melted cheese or melted ham or bacon or, you know, whatever people put on turkey. Whatever people put on sandwiches on the inside. So it's like, I would be very sad about toasters. Like, if I woke up tomorrow and they were like, all the world's toasters disappeared overnight, I would feel, it wouldn't massively impact me because I don't even have a toaster right now. But it was just that nostalgia. I've used a toaster for so long.
You'd just be genuinely upset.
I would. I would just be genuinely upset. Be like, no, toasters. We were so close.
But we do have, like, ovens that can toast.
Yeah.
Because you can, if you put the broiler on your oven, you toast bread in 2 minutes, tops.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I've never done it. But it's also, it's like, you have to turn the oven on. You know, the area gets a little bit heated.
Yeah.
But it's like, it just seems like more of an inconvenience.
No, it is. Or you could just, you know, build a fire.
Yeah. I mean, the good old way. Take it back to that good old times.
Toasted bread on a campfire is by far the best bread.
You know what my favorite kind of toasted bread is? Mm. You need to have, it can't be a gas grill. It has to be a charcoal grill because it's just a different flavor. Charcoal grill, and you put a little bit of olive oil. You take a piece of garlic and just cut that in half so that it's the juicy side. I don't know what to call it. I would call garlic juicy, but whatever. The side that has the interiors in it, and just rub that on the bread and put that on the grill. Chef's kiss. It's so good. It is so good. Unmatched. Unmatched. I'm considering
You've made that for me before.
It's so good, but I've made it for you on a gas grill. And it's just not the same. It tastes a million times better on a charcoal grill.
Yeah. Those are annoying, though.
Yeah, I love charcoal grills, but they're such a pain just to set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still do it, though. Like, I'm actually thinking of buying a little charcoal grill, and when we go to the like Poconos or whatever, or even to your Hamptons house, just to bring it with me and be like, so we can use the big gas grill for like meats and whatever, but this little charcoal here, I'm using it exclusively. And also, I mean, it makes meat taste different as well. Like meat from a charcoal grill versus a gas grill also tastes different.
Yeah.
Speaking of grills, I'm gonna add that to our list. What would happen if grills disappeared?
I feel like a lot of Americans would be very upset.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I was like, with grills, because you can't really take the idea of grilling away. So I feel like with grills disappearing, it would only be gas grills. Because charcoal grills is just, it's literally a grate over a fire.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not really technology per se. That's just a grate over fire.
Yeah. And also, you can only really grill in the summer, really. I mean, you could grill in the winter, but it's not really.
I would like to pinpoint you to my birthday last year.
It wasn't cold out, though.
It's
your birthday, it wasn't cold. We were out in sweatshirts.
But it was winter. Because spring doesn't start until like two days later.
But I'm saying, like, people usually grill in the warm weather.
Yes.
You could grill in the cold. It's not fun, but you could do it.
Yes.
So it's absolutely a seasonal thing.
Yes. So that's the thing. It would definitely, I feel like a lot of people would be upset about it, but it wouldn't be the end of the world just because grills have been around for so long. And it's one of those things where there's a very easy replacement for it. Just you go back to the old fashioned way of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this one I actually have a lot of thoughts on. Microwave.
Everyone has a microwave. Not everyone, but a lot of people have microwaves.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And it's one of those things that it would have a very severe impact on certain people. I mean, if you're, you know, like the Elon Musk, Bill Gates of the world, then I feel like you don't really care if microwaves disappear. You're probably not eating, you know, leftovers all that often.
True.
But if you're, you know, a small family of four that's, you know, lower class or whatever, you rely on microwaves a lot. Because sometimes the apartment you live in has very limited resources for a stove. You know, a lot of people that are living in poverty have just one gas burner. And you can only do so much with one gas burner. And they rely on microwaves to actually feed their families, to make the food. Because contrary to what a lot of people believe, microwaves are not just for heating up food. You can fully make meals in there.
Yeah, they have buttons to make stuff.
not even that. It's like, this is, it's going to sound disgusting, but I'm going to put my brother on blast. I don't care. He, when he was being lazy and just didn't feel like making eggs, he would literally like put them on a plate, like two raw eggs, squish them around a little bit with a fork so that they're scrambled on the plate, put them in the microwave for like 2 minutes, take them out, and he had scrambled eggs.
That's disgusting.
Like, but it works.
Which one? Which one? No.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, it adds up, but
it does, yeah. But yeah, no, it works. It's one of those things. It's not a bad thing though. It doesn't taste like a forbidden fruit, or it doesn't taste great. It's not like some chef's gourmet. But yeah, at the end of the day, if you just need protein in you and you need to make eggs quickly. That's the thing. It's like you can just put it in the microwave. I think you can also make potatoes in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can just, I was shocked by this one. I found this out a couple years ago. It was like there was instructions on the potato I bought at ShopRite or whatever.
Yeah, you could do baked potatoes in the microwave.
Yeah, and it was like, put into microwave for however many minutes.
Or mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean put in the microwave? And it's, you can make potatoes in the microwave.
I'm always afraid because I have tried to make a baked potato in the microwave. And I'm like, is it going to just explode?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm scared to use the microwave for more than a few minutes because I really think it will explode. And I know it's not. Like, I know the chances of that are very low. I'm just skeptical of microwaves.
Oh, that's like, side note, there's like this TikTok sound going around and this woman put a croissant in a microwave and all of a sudden it went zzz, and she said, see, now why the fuck would it do that? It's a croissant.
No, but that's one of those things. It's like, why? Like, the microwave has, it's lawless. It just does its own thing.
Yeah, like, it could just explode. She was like, it's a croissant. Why did it spark?
Fun fact, I did almost make a microwave explode once. I wanted to just melt my butter a little bit because it was in the fridge and it was super firm. And I just listen. So I just plopped it in, and it was Kerrygold butter. So it has that, like, but the metal wrapping on it. And it didn't even click to me that this is metal. So I just put it in. I kid you not. It was in for, like, 2 seconds, and it started making noise and sparking. I was like, stop. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill myself.
That reminds me when I was in my master's year, my roommate, she was trying to make, I think, a baked potato, and she had it in tin foil, and it didn't click to her that it was metal, so she put it in, and turns out, I was like, what are you doing? And it started sparking. She was like,
No, that was my reaction exactly. It happened so soon. It's not even like in there for 10 seconds just swirling around. It was like 2-3 seconds, and it was like... I was like, oh my God.
And she's so smart.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, sometimes you just don't realize. You're just instinct. You're like, put it in the microwave, heat it up.
Yeah.
To anyone listening that hasn't experienced this, do not put metal in the microwave.
Any form of metal.
Yeah, it's like, if you're heating up food, make sure there's no fork, no spoon, none of that.
No tin foil.
No tin foil. Yeah. So anyway, microwaves. Suspicious little inventions we have there.
Yeah. My mom is convinced that they cause cancer. So,
I mean, I think there is something with it. It might have been like debunked with a more, my microwaves get more advanced or whatever. But I was always told
radiation
kid,
does come out.
Yeah. I was told, like, as a kid, don't stand directly in front of the microwave. Did I listen? No. But
I did too.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the layout of my kitchen in Brooklyn. So,
yeah,
it is. It's difficult not to stand in front of the microwave if you're just waiting around for it. Mm-hmm. But it's so. All right, microwaves aside, let's talk about something a bit more day to day that is going to affect, I think, everyone. Light bulbs. That would be a big one. That's huge.
Yeah.
And it's like, because light bulbs, yes, they're in our ceilings, they're in our lamps, but they're also in flashlights. Like, they have little light bulbs inside.
My camera.
Yeah, cameras. Like, you know, photo things, but... Oh, my God. The cameras, but the other
the
cameras.
Flash.
Yes, flash. Like, all of those have some sort of light inside of them.
Right.
And it's like that... I feel like that one would have a huge impact on society.
What about, like, keyboards and...
Yeah, I mean, I have a light-up keyboard. Like, if I
mean, it's not a light bulb. But,
yeah, it's not a light bulb, but if I took it off, there's lights on the inside, and it's like a mini light bulb.
And the computer, like the screen.
Yeah,
that's
it's light. Like it's light. I mean, that's light projection. I don't know how much a monitor.
Are you just speaking about
light
bulb?
Yeah, but I feel like with a light bulb, everything that kind of tangents off of it, like the insides, like an LED projector, I feel like that has to do with light as well. I don't actually know that much about, like, inside of computers or inside of monitors.
Right.
But I feel like, I mean, my computer itself, it has a bunch of lights inside of it because I like it nice and colorful.
Me too.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, like, that would go completely dark. But, society would just be in darkness because all street lights would go out. All
Times Square?
Times Square would be empty.
Dead.
Like, it would just be a bunch of bland buildings.
Yeah.
Like, they would still have the projectors, but there would be nothing on them.
Japan
Tokyo. As well. Like, Tokyo. Like, everyone thinks of Tokyo as a super animated, and it is actually like that.
Yeah.
But it would all just go blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, I think that one would have one of the biggest impacts on society.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? You're just, like, the world would go into chaos for a little bit, I feel like, with that one.
Yeah.
You can't see anything. And I don't, like, If I have to use a candle, I have, like, the scented candle that I use to make my room smell nice, but I don't have a candle to, like, light it up, and candles also have a life expectancy.
Yeah.
Like, they burn out.
Right.
Damn. Let me tell you that. Yankee Candle would be... Sales would really go up on that one.
They sure would. Bath and Body Works?
Well, everyone just be like, candles! Everyone get candles everywhere. Yeah, no. Light bulb, I think, would have a huge impact.
Yeah, that would be tough. And also, people go crazy. Not crazy, but, like, you know, depression. All of
no,
that
people do go
spike.
Crazy. Like,
yeah,
some people
can, you can lose your mind.
Go into, like, I'm going to go on a manic episode right now.
Yeah, because what if there's, like, a huge storm, so it's dark all day, all night.
And then you're also hearing lightning and wind and thunder.
Yeah, you can lose your mind.
Yeah. And you remember, I used to live on the 6th floor. If it was windy outside, it sounded like a hurricane.
Yes.
Like, I would be like, wow, what the hell is going on out there? Meanwhile, if you open the window, it's actually not that bad. But it's amplified because I was higher up in the sky.
Right.
So it's like, imagine living on, like, the 15th floor, no light, surrounded by darkness. It's the middle of the night and you're just hearing this dramatic wind outside. Man, that's not fun.
No.
I could see why people would lose their minds on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do another big one. Cars. That one would affect certain countries a lot more than others.
Yeah.
And it would affect certain cities a lot more than others. So New York City, I feel like, would probably benefit from this one.
But we're just getting rid of cars. So we still have motorcycles.
Yeah, we still have motorcycles. Like, we have bicycles.
Scooters,
whatever. It's just cars. But, you know, with major metropolitan cities, I don't think they're going to be affected that much because people use public transportation anyway.
Right.
Although buses are disappearing because they're technically a form of cars.
Yeah.
But you can still, it's very accessible. If you have trains or a metro system or a tram or whatever, like, you can use those and you can bike around. Like, certain cities are a lot smaller than others. Like, Boston, for example, is much smaller than New York. You can bike around it, get wherever you need to go. But places, you know, especially in the United States, looking at how rural everything is and how spread out everything is, people would really suffer without cars.
Yeah.
Cars are a staple to how people get to work, how people move around. Like, people are 30, 40 miles away from their job because they can just drive to it. Takes them, you know, 30 minutes and they're there, or 20 minutes if it's a highway road.
Also, long distance relationships.
Oh, yeah. Long distance relationships. Like, you're tough luck. You know, you better find a train.
Yeah.
And no more driving. Cars would affect a lot. And even looking at other countries, I mean, I don't have that much experience in other areas, but for Poland, for example, I grew up in pretty rural Poland, and you know, the closest city isn't too far. Like, I biked to it. It's like, I don't know, like maybe 10 kilometers. It's not too bad, but it's a bit out of the way. You're limited to how much you can take on a bicycle or a motorcycle or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also not everyone has motorcycles. I feel like more people don't have motorcycles than those that do.
Unless you're in Italy, then everyone has a Vespa.
Yeah. But that's like, it's also very cultural.
Yeah. But also in Italy, some, like in Florence, some places you can't drive. Like, they have taxis, but like, no normal people can't drive.
Yeah. So that would also, I mean, like I said, it would affect cities a lot differently. Like Amsterdam, they're very bike reliant.
Yeah.
I feel like they would be fine for the most part.
Yeah.
But cities like, I'm trying to think of like a very car reliant cities, like the Indian cities, like Mumbai.
I was just going to say that, India.
Yeah. Like, they're, have you ever seen photos or videos of their traffic feeds?
My friend's mom went there.
It's wild. And
it was insane traffic.
It feels like everyone and their mother has a car. So I feel like those kind of countries would be heavily impacted as well.
Yeah.
Like, the lack of
cars. They don't have the other forms of transportation, like subways and...
Yeah. It would
just rely on cars.
It would definitely have the biggest impact on underdeveloped areas or areas that don't have any other form of transportation, like trains. I mean, even if you go to, like, Missouri, is there even a train line that goes to Missouri?
I don't know.
I wouldn't even be able to tell you. I have no idea. But it's one of those areas, like, if you're in rural Missouri, if there's a train line, it's definitely in, like, a major city. If you're in, like, 100 miles away from it, then you're not, you just don't have access. You're going to be secluded from the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you even have a dealership near you to buy a motorcycle? Do you even know how to ride a motorcycle?
I don't even know what's in Missouri, so I couldn't.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, there's a book based in Missouri, but that's all I can think of.
Yeah.
So I feel like cars would have a very detrimental impact. All right, what about something, another mode of transportation, per se, but a lot less impactful, skateboards.
Skateboards are fun.
Skateboards are fun.
I have no balance, so I can't ride
them. I don't know how to ride one. No. But I think of what we're not thinking about is that, yes, skateboards are fun, and people don't really use them as a reliable source to move around, unless they're teenagers or like young adults or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, my ex, for example, she used to skateboard around to the train and wherever all the time. So, like, for her, it was an actual thing to use, but it wasn't something that you would use to travel, you know, from one end of the city to the other. That's pretty unrealistic unless you're built different.
I think we would be fine without skateboards.
But you know what? It would affect things like the X Games. Like, it's not something you think about, really, but it's a huge sporting
event. Would snowboards go away?
No, snowboards still exist. Okay. Yeah, just skateboards. But it's like, it's one of those things where skateboarding is a huge thing for the X Games. Yeah. And it's like, people involved in that community and people that are very heavy X Games users, like, imagine one of the biggest sports for that category just disappearing.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's like soccer disappearing.
I haven't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things, like, yeah, it would affect our day-to-day lives, or it might not affect our day-to-day lives, but the bigger picture as well. Like, some people have their entire career built on skateboarding.
True. Tommy Hawk. Is that his name? Tony.
Tony
Hawk. See, I know nothing. Tommy Hawk.
It's like Tomahawk.
Tomahawk. I think that's what I was thinking of.
I'm going to tweet this out and be like, my friend called you Tomahawk. Is that you? She got me
confused. Is that you?
what's it called? Skateboarding, it's like one of those things where you just don't really consider it because it seems like a kid's thing. Like, kids, you know, play around, or teenagers in skate parks or whatever. Or it's also associated with vandals a lot.
Yeah.
But it would have an impact. It would definitely, a lot of people would lose a lot of money if skateboards just disappeared.
True.
So it depends on what you view as important and, you know, what industry you're in and what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. All right.
Interesting.
The last topic I have for us to discuss, and then we can shortly wrap up. If this shut down, what would happen? The internet.
Oh, boy.
That's a big one. I would consider the internet the most advanced piece of technology.
Yes.
Easily in the last millennia.
Yeah.
Like, ever since we've gotten the internet, we were able to just advance so much as a society, so much as a people.
Mm-hmm.
So
Bitcoin, cryptocurrency.
Yeah, like, I mean, not even gone. That. Like, yeah, they would be gone, but also just access to things.
Yeah.
Like, how much...
Because there's online shopping. Yeah. Amazon.
Yeah, there's so many companies that are exclusively online. Like, they don't have a brick and mortar type of thing.
No.
I mean, even though Amazon does, but it's still not to the extent that it would. I don't know how Tesla cars work, but I think they're connected to some kind of internet.
I think so.
And it's like, it would, so cars take, like, different industries would be impacted. I mean, software as a whole would be completely changed.
Yeah.
I mean, cybersecurity would kind of become non-existent at that point. What do you need cybersecurity for if no one can access your network or your computer? Unless someone physically plugs something in, they have no access.
Yeah.
Because Wi-Fi doesn't exist anymore, because what do you need Wi-Fi for with no internet?
Yep. Wow. There's no social media.
Yeah, no social media.
Your phones would kind of be useless.
I mean, phones would work, because if you have a landline.
I mean, like cell phones.
Yeah,
like,
cell phones.
It would just go back to how it used to be.
Yeah, you can just make calls. You can make calls and text, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like you wouldn't need a smartphone anymore and just have a regular flip phone or Nokia. Yeah. Nokia would go back into business.
Yeah, those phones are something else.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't have internet and all we used phones was calling and texting, I would just find the most durable phone. I don't need a fancy schmancy screen with, you know, apps or whatever. Well, I mean, apps are still useful. Well, you can't download them, though.
Right, because there's no
app. So there's no internet. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, so there's no app.
Yeah. How do you make them accessible?
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything would just kind of collapse.
No, I have a firm belief that if the internet disappeared tomorrow, society would collapse.
We are so reliant on it.
We are extremely reliant. And even looking at the big scheme of things, like macroeconomics, people trade, you know, all the trade centers are online now. If you go to the New York Stock Exchange, people aren't on the floor yelling like they used to. It's a lot of it is done through the internet. So all the international trades, you know, even like the war right now, like the war Ukraine and Russia, how much of it is reliant on the internet? You know, the Ukrainians are able to share so much money. We're able to donate money because the internet is accessible. It's like if I had to physically fly to Poland and then take a wad of cash and be like, here you go, Mr. Ukrainian man, I am giving you money. Then no. Like,
Mr. Ukrainian man.
That's unrealistic. That's not going to happen. Also, how do I even book a flight? I have to go find a travel agent who has to, I don't even know how they book flights. Like I think they used to have to actually go
to the airport.
Yeah, they have to go to the airport. We're like, hello, I would like to book a flight for
Miami. Call the airport.
Oh yeah, they could call. That's true.
Be like, I need to book a flight.
That's crazy. I'm very much of the firm belief that countries would, not all of them, but some countries would collapse without the internet. Like economies could potentially collapse fully. It's like if you just lose so much resources to everything.
Mm-hmm. Also, Apple Pay.
Yeah, like that's not a thing. Although with Apple Pay, like, that's not the end of the world because that's only pretty recent that came out.
Yeah, true.
So we've been thriving without it. But it's like so much of our life has turned from convenience into let's just shift permanently into this. It's like some countries are getting rid of cash completely.
Yeah.
Like they're making it card only and, you know, digital payments only.
Right.
And do those even work? I don't know how credit cards work, but can those work if there's no internet?
Yeah.
Can they? Because they're connected through like an internal system.
Oh,
like, what is it being charged through?
don't know.
Like, I'm pretty, the machines to collect the things are all during there, right? Like, you need a
They would connection. Probably have to have some kind of wire transfer.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is that the price of gold would shoot up.
Yes.
Every time there's any type of turmoil, gold just skyrockets.
Gold is like, I'm back.
Yeah. It's like, miss me?
Now I'm very expensive. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting to think about just how much technology we're surrounded by. And yeah, there's the big ones like phones, computers, the internet. But there's also smaller things like toasters. You know, technically the pen is a piece of technology. It's a very simple piece of technology. But it's still, there's the spring mechanism to it and all that. So it's interesting to think about, what if that one random piece of technology just disappeared? How would you go about your day? Yeah, it's like, how would I go about my day? But how would other people go about their day? Like, yeah, it won't affect me that much, but what about other people?
Right.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It is. It's fun to think about, and it's fun to talk about as well.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think that's going to wrap up today's episode. Any parting words, Angie?
I don't know.
All right. In that case,
I think we need to just try to not rely on technology so much, but also realize how efficient it is and has gotten.
That's the thing. It's like we might not want to rely on it, but also sometimes we just don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes the technology makes the decision for us.
This is a great conversation for 8 a.m. in the morning.
It is. It's a really good start your day type of thing.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And on that note, outro music.
Outro music.